Now, if you do have your Bible with you this morning, please do turn back to 2 Timothy as we continue our study there this morning. Now, last week we began this study in 2 Timothy and we saw how Paul wrote this letter to Timothy with a purpose. And remember, we thought about when we phone someone, generally speaking, unless they're a family member or a really, really good friend that we speak to often, we phone with purpose, don't we? We want to ask them something or, you know, will you come out for lunch with me or whatever it might be. And we see this letter that Paul writes to Timothy is written with purpose. It's to encourage Timothy in his faith and in his calling, and also to request that Timothy comes to Paul in prison in Rome. Paul's really missing Timothy, and he wants his fellowship and his friendship once more. And we see from what we saw in chapter 1 that it might have been the case that Timothy was beginning to shy back from his calling and his ministry. Perhaps under the influence of others, perhaps through the reputation of others who had deserted Paul already. And Paul doesn't want that to happen to Timothy. And Paul makes it clear to Timothy that he is to guard the teaching that's been given to him. And he's to guard that teaching with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now this morning, Paul develops those themes further in chapter 2. Firstly, he calls Timothy to remain strong. Just me, okay? Steps like that. No, you don't. All right, then, just me, okay? He asks Timothy to remain strong. Remain strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus. And what's key in all that we're looking at today is that Timothy is not doing what he's called to do in his own strength. He's not to do it in his own strength. You see, if you want to have biceps like that, what do you have to do? You have to go and get the baked bean cans out, or you have to at least get some weights, and you have to work those muscles until the biceps get bigger. But what Paul is saying to Timothy today is that he needs to stand strong in the Lord, in the grace of the Lord Jesus. Just as in the same way, Paul was not sharing the gospel in his own strength when he was going out on his missionary journeys. Paul did it because he was called, because Jesus called him. And that's the grace that has been given to you. Timothy, do this. Stand strong in the Lord and the grace that has been given to you, because that is what God has called you to do. Remember that time when I was there laying my hands on you, imparting that gift for ministry? That was God calling you. And you're to stand strong in that. Be strong in Christ. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ. I.e., Paul is reminding Timothy here, this is not about yourself. This is about God and giving him honor, giving him glory. And so as Paul has done, Timothy also is to be strong in the Lord. But he's to be strong for a specific purpose. And probably the key verse in the whole passage that we're going to be looking at this morning is probably verse 2. You see, here it says that what Timothy has heard from Paul in front of many witnesses, Timothy is to entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others. Now, what does that mean? Well, remember here that Paul is in prison. He's an older man speaking to a younger man. And he's perhaps concerned what's going to happen to him. Is he ever going to get out of prison? Is he going to die when he's there? Is he going to be sentenced to death anyway? Paul is very aware of his own mortality, I believe, when he's in prison. And so what he's asking Timothy to do is to share the good news of the gospel, the teaching that Paul has based his life on. And Timothy is to share it. And basically what he's asking Timothy to do here is to disciple others, to pass on the message to reliable people, those qualified, or as another translation has it, competent, to teach, so that the message about Jesus, the true message, spreads. This week, Anna and I and the boys went over to Edinburgh, and we went to some of the fringe events, but we also spent a bit of time in the National Museum of Scotland, and it's great. You could spend a week in there with all the exhibits. We had to dash around because we've got two boys who just go through everything. And on a number of the floors, what you see is different skeletons of, you know, animals and things, and it's wonderful. But there are certain animals that are obviously gone extinct. And so there's skeletons of dinosaurs, which we have no more. And on the wall, there was a list of different animals that have become extinct. There were famous animals like the dodo in 1662 that went extinct. But after that, every single year, pretty much, there's an animal that's gone extinct. And it's often been said that Christianity is only one generation away from extinction. Now, of course, we could add many footnotes to that claim. But what is true, of course, is that unless the life, faith, and teachings of true Christianity are actively committed to the next generation, then they'll be lost, won't they? And of course, we know that in our own time, don't we? We see this in Scotland today. We see it in the Church of Scotland today. We see increasing secularisation. We see the Church of Scotland membership plummeting through the floor. And I wonder if part of the reason for it is that we haven't been committed to discipleship. We haven't been committed to passing on the faith to the generation below us. And I want to encourage each of us this morning, let's take this seriously, what Paul is saying to Timothy today. You see, throughout the Bible, God has always asked his people to share their faith and to pass it on to the next generation. Do you remember in the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses has all the people of Israel on the just at the side of the Jordan before they go into the promised land? And he reminds them. He reminds them of the law. He reminds them of all that they've been through. He reminds them of how God had brought them out of Egypt in a miraculous and amazing way. Now, why does Moses remind them of all that? Because he wants them to pass it on to their children. Their children that didn't see God deliver them from Egypt. Their children who didn't see them see God sustaining them in the desert. It's to be passed on, so that they too might put their faith and trust in God. And the same is required of us too, isn't it? To disciple and to share our faith, to mentor younger generations and to tell them about the Lord, to tell them about all that God has done. Now note here that Paul says that Timothy is to share Paul's teaching to reliable people who are competent to teach. Now, some have translated that as, you know, this is the elders. It's the elders in the church. And of course, the elders in the church should show an example in these things. But it's incumbent upon all of us to share these things with our children, with our grandchildren, to disciple, to share the good news. Now, as you're sitting here this morning, you might be thinking to yourself, how do I do that? That's really difficult. And of course, this is not to say this is going to be easy. Because holding firm to the truth about Jesus and sharing it with others has meant suffering for Paul. Remember why Paul is in prison. He's in prison for discipling others, for sharing the great good news about Jesus. And he calls Timothy in verse 3. To share in that suffering. And then following that, he uses three analogies to encourage Timothy towards service despite the suffering. He's saying to Timothy here, look, you must share this reliable message about Jesus. You must share it to those who are able to teach. They also are to pass it on to the next generation. But remember here, you will suffer for doing that. He uses three analogies to encourage Timothy. I wonder if you noticed them in our passage today. The first picture is a picture of a soldier. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Now note here that Paul is not saying that people should withdraw from civilian activity. He's not saying here, withdraw from the earthly, focus only on the spiritual. That's not what he's saying to Timothy here. Rather, what Paul is saying here is, Timothy, be single-minded. Be single-minded. Don't be distracted by other things, however worthy they might be, even if they're spiritual things. You see, we all get distracted, don't we? Remember that time when you've decided, oh, I've got to go upstairs just to get something. And you reach the top of the stairs, you think, oh, I need to pick that up because it needs washed or whatever else. And you go back down the stairs and you thought, I was just up the stairs and I was going to be getting something. And you've been distracted. Has that ever happened to you? Is that just me again? What Paul is saying here is, Timothy, be single-minded about passing this teaching about Jesus on. Be single-minded about growing disciples. You're to be very focused upon this. And perhaps we too need to heed Paul's words. Because we too, at this time in the life of the church, need to be single-minded and focused. It's so easy to get distracted and focus upon things which may be very worthy. But if we lose our core message, then we'll end up struggling. And so the analogy of the soldier calls for single-mindedness here. Timothy, this is really important. You've heard this message from me. Please pass it on to those who are able to teach, that they might pass it on so that the church might grow. That's Paul's focus here. He wants as many as possible to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. The second analogy is an athlete. I've put a discus thrower on the screen there. Paul is always very keen to use athletes in his letters as illustrations. But rather than simply being about winning, as we find in perhaps 1 Corinthians or Philippians, the analogy here that Paul is using is about keeping to the rules. It's about keeping to the rules. When you throw a discus, if you see it, you have to spin round, but you've got to remain in the circle. If you come out the circle, it's a foul throw. And what Paul is saying here is that Timothy has to keep to God's rules. It isn't about foul play or cheating. It's about obeying God and being faithful to the task. And we are to be a people who stick to God's rules. A people who are holy as God is holy, and to live out our lives to the full for him. The third analogy is the hard-working farmer. The hard-working farmer. Any hard-working farmers here? I can spot one or two. The idea here that Paul is saying is that Paul's encouraging Timothy to hard work. Hard work, because it will have its reward. Perhaps not here and now, but it certainly will in spiritual things. It will have its reward. Think, for example, similarly of the parable of the talents that Jesus told, where those who work hard with their 10 talents are given 10 more. Those who work hard with the 5 talents receive 5 more. They're working hard for the kingdom. And so Paul uses these 3 analogies. The soldier, be single-minded. The athlete, keep to the rules. The farmer, hard work is what's needed. Now, the overall picture that Paul is giving Timothy to reflect on is that sharing the good news, as he has been called to do, and discipling is hard work. It's hard work. It takes single-mindedness. It takes holiness. It takes total commitment. I just want to pause there for a moment and just make a comment. You see, when we read this today and we see the hard work that's involved, we might think to ourselves, hold on here. Surely nothing will happen without the work of the Holy Spirit. Surely no one will come to faith in Jesus without God already being at work in God, in people's hearts. And of course, you would be right. But the other side of this, of course, is that God calls us to go and make disciples. You see, God doesn't just zap people with the Holy Spirit, that they become Christians with no effort from us at all. Though God could quite easily do that. Amazingly, he calls us to share the good news. He wants us to partner with him. What a humbling thing that is. Remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, that he planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. You see, we are called to sow the seed. We are called to water it in prayer. And that takes time and effort and focus. And our prayer is that God would make it grow. You see, God needs a people who are personally committed to the work. You see, it's not by our works that people are saved. It's only through God. It's only through God and his grace. But we are called to the hard work of sharing the good news. And as Paul shares this with Timothy, he asks him in verse 7 to reflect upon his words. Reflect upon the soldier, the athlete, the hard-working farmer. You see, Timothy, you're not just simply to say, yes, that's fine, Paul. That's okay. We'll just get on with that. He's not to give it kind of superficial assent here. Paul is saying, reflect on these things. And I wonder if it's worth us reflecting on these things too. I heard someone once who did a talk. I think it was in a Christian union. And they did it with the title Christian Unbelief, which seems like a total paradox, doesn't it? But it was on the subject of the tendency of Christians to assent mentally to certain doctrines and certain things, but not to believe them to such an extent as for them to change their lives. But what Paul is asking Timothy to do is to stop and to reflect. Because what Paul is asking Timothy to do will change his life. And it will change our life too. Now the question remains as this. Why would I give up a life of ease? A life of doing my own thing? A life of assenting to Christian things but not letting them truly grip my heart? Why would I give that up? Why should Timothy do what Paul asks him to do? And why should we at the end of the day? If this is hard work, why should I do it? Well, the reason is found in verses 8 to 13. You see, Paul says to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Now, unless he's suffering from amnesia, it's unlikely, really, that Timothy has forgotten Jesus. So what's Paul saying here? Well, what Paul is saying to Timothy and saying, look, remember Jesus Christ, is that he's bringing Timothy back to the heart of his faith. He's basically saying to Timothy, remember your faith. Remember the gospel. Remember Jesus, raised from the dead, descended from David. It isn't a myth. It's something that's real. That's the reason that I, Paul, am suffering. But Paul wants to encourage Timothy that though he, Paul, is chained, that he's in prison, that God's word isn't chained. And that's why he, Paul, endures. Because he wants people to hear God's word, that they too might come to faith in Jesus. You see, I hope from reading this passage this morning that you see Paul's passion. Paul's passion that others might come to know Christ. And he wants that to be Timothy's passion too. Now at the end of our passage this morning, Paul ends with a trustworthy saying, of which there are a few in the pastoral letters. And this trustworthy saying is to encourage and to challenge Timothy. He's basically saying, Timothy, if we died with him, we will also live with him. Remember, Timothy, if we endure, we will also reign. I warn you, Timothy, if we disown him, he will disown us. But even if you are faithless, Timothy, remember that God remains faithful. You see, throughout all that Paul is saying here to Timothy about sharing the good news and making disciples and the hard work that this will be, what is really important to remember is that Paul is not saying here to Timothy, Timothy, man up. Okay, he's not saying man. Has that ever happened to you? It happens to me occasionally, okay? Remember when I was wee and you'd be out somewhere and you fell over and you skint your knee and your mum or your dad would say, look, son, man up. Come on, get the tears away, get on with it. Okay? Maybe I had harsh parents, maybe not. Maybe I say that to John as well. That's not what Paul is saying here. He's not saying, Timothy, look, man up, man. You're timid. Get on with it. Come on, have a bit of passion. That's not necessarily what he's saying. What he is saying is, Timothy, you have such a great salvation. You have such a great Savior in Jesus. And if you truly understand that, if it's really gripped your heart, will you not serve him? Will you not share him with others? Will you not do anything for him? Even suffer. Because of what Jesus has done. And because of who God is. You see, what do I most admire about Paul? One of the things I really admire is that Paul is all in. All in. He's wholehearted. All he does is for Jesus. He's single-minded. He's focused. He knows what God has called him to do. And he's willing to suffer. He's willing to endure because he knows that is the truth. And he wants Timothy to be the same too. And I want to ask you this morning, what about us today? Are we sold out for Christ? Does a passage like this fire up our souls and make us think, yes, I want to serve God in such a way. I want my life to be all about him. I don't want to turn back. I don't want to be timid. Does it fire up your spirit within and give you greater urgency to share Jesus with others, to disciple others? You see, we're left with a choice today. Are you a Christian unbeliever? Christian on the outside? Unchanged on the inside? Or are you a Christian believer? Someone who knows God's grace, who knows the truth of the gospel, who has a passion to share it with those around them and to disciple people and help them to understand the truth. Because maybe, just maybe, at such a time as this, this is what God is calling us to do. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for your word to us this day. And we thank you for all the reminders that Paul gives to Timothy. That all he has suffered, all he has gone through in being put in prison, is worth it. That he is willing to endure and he's willing to suffer those things because what he believes in is not a myth. It's not a lie. It is the truth. That Jesus is the Son of God. That he is descended from David. And he has indeed risen from the dead. We thank you for the way that Paul is all in. That this is the single-minded focus of his life. But we thank you for his passion, his passion to share that great good news with others, to pass it on to Timothy, and to ask Timothy to pass it on to others able to teach, that they too might pass on that message to others. And Father, in our own lives, we pray that we would be willing to pass on the great good news about Jesus, to pass on our faith to our children, to our grandchildren, to a younger generation, that they too might know the truth, that they too might put their faith in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that Paul reminds Timothy of what the truth is, that he reminds him of his faith in Jesus. And today, Lord God, may we be reminded of our faith in the Lord Jesus and all that Jesus means to us. And we pray that as we're gripped by the Lord Jesus, as he takes hold of our heart, that we would be willing to be single-minded, to be holy, and that we would be willing to work hard that others might come under a hearing of the good news of the gospel. So, Heavenly, and watch over us, and that you would strengthen us in the grace that is found in us, and watch over us, and that you would strengthen us in the grace that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray this in his name and for his sake. Amen. Let's sing together as we close our worship this morning. And please do remember, there is tea and coffee through in the hall. Please do join us for that if you're able today. We sing together as we close. We're going to sing "Soldiers of Christ, Arise and Put Your Armour On, Strong in the Strength which God Supplies."